Let's pray for God's precious word and thank him for it. Father, as one who has been called to preach your word, the truth of your word, I am committed, Lord, even if it's just with five people that we have left at one point, or with 1,000 or 2,000 or 3,000, the truth will not change. And so I won't stop preaching the truth. Thank you that your word is truth. Thank you that your word guide us. Thank you that your word shapes us. Thank you, Father, that your word sets us free. As we open our hearts to your word today, Father, whether our children or grandchildren are young or old, we are still parents and we still have a responsibility before you for those children you gave to us. So we want to be faithful. Help us to see what you want us to see, grasp what we want us to grasp, apply and walk whatever it is that you're calling us to walk in. These things we pray, asking you to anoint your word in my lips and my mind and hearts, all of us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
The reading today will be Psalm 119, 9-16, found in the Pew Bible on page 957. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips, I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Darla. And we will continue to pray for Steve, who's under the weather. So pray for him to recover. So this passage, and any passage from Psalm 119, is like Turkish delight for me. It's just so precious. It's so full of wisdom. It's so meaty. And so it's such a privilege and a joy for me to be preaching from the entire Psalm 119. I just pray that we can cover as much as we can. This has been the foundation, the Carta Magna of my prayers for my children. And I'm giving it to you in chunks, and I really believe what I'm giving you is gold. So take it to heart as you pray for your children. Today we will continue to look at God's heart, which is what we need to be praying, God's heart for our children, from the sections of Psalm 119 under the Hebrew letter Bet, the second letter of the Hebrew alphabet. As you know, this is sectioned according to the 22 Hebrew letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Last week, we talked about God's heart for our children, and I reminded you of the importance of looking for the good in your child. You may think that comes naturally. It doesn't. For until you believe that God wants to bless your children, you will not be able to pray for them effectively. You need to believe that. And I told you that maybe the first step then is to repent from the way you have judged and criticized your children. People, we need to repent from that. You take that to heart. Remember that the thing our children need the most is that to know that we love them and that God loves them. That's the one thing they need to know the most. It is not because of what they're doing or not doing. That's what they need. But see, we have the tendency to think if you do good, then I'll remind you of that. Or we just don't mention it because we think they're going to be spoiled rotten. They need to hear that you love them and that God loves them. I could cry to remember how many times I've had, whether it's in marriage counseling or personal counseling, men and women, especially men for some reason, now that I think of it, who have said to me, my father never told me he loved me, never. That's a tragedy, because that is one of our biggest responsibilities. But you know what? I've also heard it from children saying that about their moms. My mom never, ever told me she loved me. And then they cover it up. Well, I knew she loved me. And I'm like, let's go back to that. Did you ever hear it? And then the tears begin to flow. Because we try to minimize as children and justify it. But hearing it is as important as seeing it. Tell your child you love him, you love her. Tell your child that God loves them the way they are. Yes, we know he loves them too much to leave them that way, but they need to know that they are loved now, here, and there. As I reminded you last week, the last thing our children need is that our voice echoes the lies they believe about themselves, that they are lazy, useless, not working hard, not good enough, not successful, that if they just would do A, B, and C, or worse, if they would just be like your brother or like your sister, those are curses. We need to steer away from those kinds of statements. Or if you would just leave this, remember what I said last week? It's not that we're denying the truth. We tell God about their weaknesses and we tell them about their strengths. Learn this. You cannot fix your child. That should be convicting, because I think some of us think we can. You can't. That's God's job. Your job is to love them, to encourage them. I also remind you that this does not mean, again, that we don't see their flaws, their weaknesses, or their sin. But it does mean we don't focus on those, but we tell God about their weaknesses, flaws, and sin in the context of intercessory prayer. That's why I'm preaching this sermon series. In today's sermon, we will focus on the importance and the power, let me say it again, the power of the word of God in our children's lives. That's what we're going to focus on today. The word is needed in our children's lives as water is needed to our body's survival. It's also needed in our prayers for them. Don't tell me that all you pray, I'm going to get strict here. This might be one of the things you don't like me for, and that's okay. God likes me. God wants me to preach this, so hear me out. You don't just come up with your own prayers. It's okay to come up with your prayers, but at one point your prayers need to be soaked in God's word. That's the effective way to pray. God wants to hear his heart, that you get it, that you're praying his heart for his children, our children, that he has entrusted to us. The word is needed in our children's lives, and it's also needed in our prayers for them. So if you're not in the word, you're just going to be spitting out whatever comes to your mind, whatever you think you need to be praying, and God is going to go, what about what I think about? What about what I have for them? What about the plans I have for them? Do you care? Do you include those things? And we cannot know or remember all those things if we're not in his word. So this is an important part of our prayers for them. Verse 9 asks a very important question for us to think about. How can a young person stay on the path of purity, some versions say? Or how can a young man keep pure, right? And then it answers it, by living according to your word. So this is rough. How many of our children or grandchildren are not living or living according to God's word? See, that's where the challenge begins. That those things we see that are not in line with God's word, those are the things we talk to God about. But to them, we talk about God's heart for them, not the things that they need to fix, because we can't fix them. And if they could fix them, they probably would have already, because they've heard enough that you're displeased with them. So they need to hear God's heart for them, the good things that you see. There's got to be something good in each one of your children. Find it. Talk about it. But what happens if our children are not living according to God's word? The answer is we pray for that to happen. That's where intercessory prayer comes into place. We pray. We don't criticize it. We pray those things that are in God's heart to come to pass in their lives. We would mention this verse in prayer then, something like this. God, in this verse, you tell us the secret of how a person can stay on the path of purity and wholesomeness. But my child is not doing that. You're honest with God. Would you please cause his or her heart to do that? And would you cause his or her feet to walk in your paths? That's what you do. You bring up God's desire for them in prayer according to the verse that you're reading. That's why I'm telling you Psalm 119 is a treasure trove for all these things that contain God's heart for your child and for you, because you're a child of God. Then you systematically move on to the next verse, verse 10, which says, I seek you with all my heart. So you begin to speak, to let that verse become the thread that weaves your prayers. A cord of three strands cannot be broken. The word of God needs to be entwined with our prayers and our love for our children. So verse 10 says, I seek you with all my heart. You can tell God, I'm seeking you. And you can cry and you can say, I see these things in my child. That's why I'm praying today. And I want my child also to seek you with all his or her heart. Let that be, oh God, because you made my heart and you made my child's heart. Let your hand bring us to you. Do not let me stray, the verse continues, from your commands. So you pray, don't let my child stray from your commands. Don't let my child stray from the truth. Don't let me stray from the truth. You can use that time to pray for yourself as well. Because if it's good for your children, guess what? It's good enough for you too. If it's good enough for you, it's also good enough for them. So for God is a win-win situation. You're praying for yourself as a child of God, and you're praying for your son or daughter as a child of God. So you pray, Father, it is my prayer that my son, daughter, granddaughter, grandson will seek you with all his or her heart. Please do not let them stray from your commands. Now this is a really, let me pause here for a minute. This is a really, really difficult thing, because it sounds to you like what I'm saying is, once you do this, the child will respond and all will be well. No, once you do this, you have planted seeds that will eventually blossom at the right time. This is a thing for the long run. This is not something that microwavable prayers. This is something that we pray and then we wait and we water them with more prayer, with thanksgiving. Our faith grows. This is something that we do because we know we're praying God's heart for them. And we know that the word of God is sent out, the Bible says, and it will do what I intended for it to do. That's God's promise. And let me tell you, because you may think that this is just something that I have not had any trouble with, I have persevered in prayer for my children. And I always say, they have made me a woman of prayer, especially the ones that have given me the bigger headaches. So even recently, one of my children, the one that last dealt with the aftermath of the divorce and the disappointment of having a father who was a pastor who one time was in the paper as a model pastor, to see this man fall from grace and reject God in every way and recant even his faith in God and to confess that the word of God is no longer valid for him. Dealing with all that, this is the child that took the longest to really open up and deal with that. Thank God she started doing counseling. And as she started doing counseling, she was very angry because of some things that she saw that I had failed. And some of them I had. One of the things, the criticisms was, why didn't you get divorced earlier? I wasn't ready. I had to wait until I knew that I had done everything and I had walked the extra mile. So in counseling, we learn that the child that turns against a parent, he will turn against the parent that feels the most safe. And for a moment, they will blame that parent for everything because they know that they have unconditional love deep down inside. They know that that parent will love them unconditionally. So she did. She isolated from me for months. And I kept praying and thinking, will she ever really come back to that sweet fellowship? It's not that we were enemies, but she was not really connecting with me the way I was used to. And I had, you know, my Tuesday morning ladies group, remember? I told them about it and we were praying and sometimes on Wednesday night, and I had to wait, and I missed her so much. But I kept praying, and I kept thinking, I'm planting seeds, and it's okay. It's okay for her healing and her unpacking, you know, all this stuff. She didn't know what was anger towards who, towards God, towards the world, towards me, towards her. It was a ball of just mess that the counselor had to help unpack. And I didn't have a say which counselor she was seeing. I wish I would have. Don't we like to control our children's lives, what they're doing? But I had something I could do. I could pray. And I began to pray, Lord, close her. It was a female counselor. That's all I knew. Close her lips when she's not speaking truth from your word, when she's not speaking your heart to my child. And I dug into the word of God. And I say, inspire her, put your words, your truth in her heart, that she will be even amazed of, why did I say that? So in prayer, you have way more power than you think. Because you're praying God's truth for your child. You don't need to be meddling in who's doing what for your child. They're done. They're adults. Leave them alone. Bring all that to God, like the woman that kept knocking, remember? And the guy finally got up because he couldn't stand the knocking. He couldn't sleep. And God says, that's how I want you to pray. That includes praying for your children. You know, I heard the other day in the context of a group of Christians that they thought that was so unique. I said, what? That you pray for your children like that. And I said, are you kidding me? You mean to tell me that not every parent does? Honestly, I wasn't criticizing. I was shocked. I thought that is our main responsibility, people. Our main responsibility is not to shape them and change them. We're done with that. Or to lead their lives. I wanted to say, let me check and see the counselor that you're seeing so I give you my approval. I couldn't do that because she's an adult. But I waited and trusted. And this week, she called me and she said, Mama, let's have coffee. I was about ready to say, look, if you don't want to have a relationship with me, just tell me so that I can begin to heal and let God heal my heart. And I don't want to be waiting and waiting and waiting for you. You think that was God? Thank goodness I just let it be. She texted me and she said, let's have coffee. So we had coffee. And she told me, I see it.
And I'm sorry. Thank you for waiting. Thank you for being patient. I'm sorry I didn't have the strength to take it apart. I'm sorry I separated myself for so long. God did it. I didn't have to do it. God answers prayer. God is good. God wants you to pray for your children. Repent from switching it and thinking you're God and you have the power to change them. And begin to look for the good in them. God will answer your prayers. Verses 11 and 12, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. This is true for your children. And it's also true for each of us that we need to hide the word of God in our hearts. The way to live a holy life is to keep God's word at the center of our hearts. I send my children a verse, text, group text, every week, sometimes every other day, because I think even if they don't have not read God's word in a while, they will at least see this verse. And so I send them, I say, here, have a blessed day. Sometimes they say thank you, sometimes they don't. But that's okay. It's not about me. It's about the word of God getting in them. Because the word is telling us, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. That's how our children will be kept from sinning. Put the word of God in them and pray that the word of God will come to their hearts. So what do we do if our children do not read the word? We pray for spiritual hunger for them. We pray that they have a desire to read God's word. That's what we pray. We can also take every opportunity we have, as I said, to share one verse or two. In cards, maybe you send cards. Don't ever send a card without a verse. A letter, don't ever send a letter without a verse. Don't waste that opportunity, that golden opportunity. When my children ask me for advice, which all three of them do, even about, well, my girls are married, but my son, even about who to date, I bring the word of God out. They're asking me for advice. That's when you can do it. Not when they're not inviting you. We can also take every opportunity then to share a verse of truth to them. And then verses 12 through 14, praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips, I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. So you can begin. Look at the truth in that verse. It's calling someone, the psalmist is saying, I rejoice in your decrees, basically God's truth. And with my mouth, I recount and I rejoice in them as in great riches. You can think about the things that your child rejoices in. And you can say, Lord, instead of them rejoicing in drugs, illicit sex, violence, video games, whatever it may be, let them rejoice in your statutes as one would in great riches. You can bring those truths into the light of God. And praise. Praise is always important. It's a very important part of our prayers. We must also pray that God will teach our children his decrees, that he will work in their hearts, and they will learn to rejoice in God's ways as one rejoices in riches. And we praise him for that. We praise him that that will come to pass because we're praying, we're planting seeds. If you're not a farmer, you know that if you plant seeds, they will eventually blossom.
be patient, persevere, keep praying. Finally, from the last two verses from today's passage, we learn to pray 15 and 16. Let me read it to you. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. So this might sound repetitive, but trust me, every one of those ingredients is necessary because it's like presenting your prayers to God very well, well prepared. It's like making this special, rich prayer for God that has the main ingredient, which is the Word of God. So you pray. This is how you would pray this truth from these two verses, 15 and 16, for your children. Father, God's word is effective. God's word is powerful. Your word revealed to us God's, your heart for my children. Let them learn to consider that, to meditate on that, to think about that. Father, cause them so they may find themselves wondering about your word, thinking about it, your truths, meditating on it without them even knowing why. What you're doing, people, is opening a path from heaven to your child's heart. That's what we want. That's what God wants. It may not feel effective, but it is. Praying God's word is effective. God's word is powerful. God's word reveals to us God's heart for our children that we are not to ignore. Let us then be faithful in making this word a part of our prayers for our children. Let us pray. Father, there's so much to learn about powerful and effective prayer. Father, I think of men and women in the past who prayed and things happened. They discovered the secret of powerful prayers, whether it was for their children, their country, their lives, healing, restoration, justice to flow. Father, you're giving us, you're opening to us the secrets of effective and powerful prayer as in light of our duty to pray for our children. We pray that we will not neglect your word as a part of these prayers. We pray that you will teach us. Lord, sometimes it feels uncomfortable to think that we've walked with you for so many years, and yet it feels like we're beginners. Let us be humble enough to learn and learn again and again the secret of effective and powerful prayers. That's what you want us to do. Father, the day will come when signs and wonders will be an everyday event in the life of your church. That time, revival will break out in every corner of every true church around the world. Let it begin with us, we pray. Let it begin with us. Let it begin with our prayers. As we pray for the greatest gift you've given to us after our salvation, which is our children. Father, we thank you for teaching us, keeping us humble and pliable enough to learn and be willing to learn again and again. So bless us, we pray, as we attempt to learn these things and apply them in prayer as we pray for our children. These things we pray in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.